is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish Home Machine, which is perfect for these crazy times when gyms and schools are closed. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Anthony Camara from the University of Alabama in Huntsville, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new FastDraw and FastScout. FastDraw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years, and now with its integrated web platform, coaches have the ability to add video to plays and share them directly to their players' Android and iPhones via their mobile app. You'll quickly see why FastModel Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. In addition to a great product, they also provide basketball coaching content and resources through their blog and PlayBank. For access to these plays and more information, visit FastModelSports.com or follow them on Twitter at FastModel. Hello and welcome to an emergency version of the Hoopheads podcast. James Harden, our favorite player here on the Hoopheads podcast, traded to the Brooklyn Nets. Your immediate reaction, Jay? Well, give me your just one sentence reaction. I'll give you mine, and then we'll go through the particulars.
Here's my immediate reaction. I think this is the immediate reaction before we get into all of the all the things going on. I think just the fact that Houston exercised this demon that they had had. I mean, the fact that yesterday they did this very quickly. The turnaround on this was super quick, which I think obviously they had deals talked about and in place. If they wanted to pull the trigger, they probably could have pulled it sooner. But after yesterday, you knew it was going to happen. So I think this is good for Houston. I don't know about the Nets, and we'll talk about that here in a minute, about what's going to look like for the Nets. And there's lots of other extenuating circumstances that play. But I think this is a good move for the Rockets, and I think it could be a good move for the Nets, but that's a big could, in my opinion. What do you think, Mike?
So my immediate reaction, I believe I actually put it on Twitter, and my reaction was that if James Harden is the answer to the question, then I'm not sure that the question has anything to do with winning an NBA championship. And I just don't see where he makes a difference for the Nets and their ultimate ceiling in winning a title. All right, go.
In this trade today, James Harden goes to the Brooklyn Nets, and the Brooklyn Nets also received a 2024 second round pick from your Cleveland Cavaliers. All right, because the Cavs, the Rockets, and the Pacers are involved with this trade with the Nets. The Rockets are going to get Victor Oladipo from the Pacers, Dante Exum from the Cavs, who's injured. I thought there was a rule against training injured players, Mike, but I guess I'm wrong on that one. And Rodions Kurux. Is that how you say? Rodions Kurux from the Nets.
Sounds good to me.
You. Houston.
Yep, sounds good to me.
Houston also gets Brooklyn's three unprotected first-round draft picks, 2022, 2024, and 2026 in the deal, plus pick swaps in 2021, 2023, 2025, and 2027. Also, they get Cleveland's 2022 first-round pick via the Milwaukee Bucks, which is sure to be a late-round first-round pick. The Pacers are getting Caris LeVert and a 2023 second-round pick from the Rockets, and the Cleveland Cavaliers are getting Jarrett Allen and Torian Prince from the Nets. So there's a lot of people in the list. So that overall, that involves 8 players. And then it involves a whole lot of picks, Mike. So definitely what I would call a blockbuster. I was super surprised when I read that the Cleveland Cavaliers were involved, because I would have never thought we were trying to trade for anything, quite frankly. So definitely cool. So I think what we just want to talk about is each team and the implications for each team. So we're going to start with the big one, I would say, is the Brooklyn Nets. So let's start with the Brooklyn Nets. What do you think of the trade for the Brooklyn Nets and the implications for them on this season and the future?
I think it's a terrible trade for the Nets. I think, like I said off the top, if you are trading for James Harden with the idea that he is going to push you over the top and make you an NBA title contender, I think you're wrong. And I've documented it many times on the podcast over the years of why I think it's wrong. And Harden, one, he has a proven history of coming up small in big games and big moments. And if you're going to win an NBA title, guess what? You're going to have lots of big moments. And if he's going to shrink from those big moments and become at best an average player, and worse, a great player who has bad games at bad times, then he's not helping you win an NBA championship. So that's number one. The history of him as a playoff performer says that he's not going to come through when it matters most. And you can argue with me all you want, but it's the truth. Is he going to help you win more regular season games? Probably. If he's in shape and he's bought in, then probably. But is that what Brooklyn cares about? Do they care about winning more regular season games? Do they care if this year they win 55 games, or they win 50 games, or they win 45 games? I don't think it matters. I think what they care about is winning a title. And I don't think James Harden gets you closer to winning an NBA title. Number two, you already have Durant there, who by all accounts is a little bit quirky. You have Kyrie, who, I don't know, has he fallen completely off the deep end?
Stephen A. Smith says he should retire.
Well, look, I mean, it's certainly entirely possible. I mean, based on his behavior and the things that he said and the way that he's gone about his business, it certainly doesn't seem like basketball has become his number one priority at this point, which, hey, more power to him. If there's more important things in his life and more important causes out there, fine, so be it. But when you're analyzing this for the Brooklyn Nets, you have to put it in the context of how does he fit into what they're trying to do, which is build a championship team. So clearly, he has some, let's just again say, personality issues when it comes to fitting in and buying in. And now he goes from, we talked about it this on last night's podcast, where he, I'm sure, considers himself 1A with Kevin Durant. Now everybody else slots him now. Not only is he not number two, but now he's the third guy on this team. And I just don't know how all those personalities work. So that's another negative as this goes. And then I think the third negative is the one thing I think that people probably had more questions about with the Nets than anything else was on the defensive end of the floor. And even without James Harden, people said this team is going to be a dynamic offensive team that's going to be able to score. And I think that's proven out, even though they haven't really caught fire yet and they're hovering around 500. I think offensively, with Kyrie back, if he's back, and Durant and Joe Harris and the rest of the pieces that they had, I don't think anybody was worried about what they were going to be able to do offensively. I think the worry was when the game slows down in the playoffs and when you have to defend and get stops, is that team good enough?
Come on, they're so much better defensively, James Harden, Mike.
So, okay, you can say Harden, the comment that you always hear about James Harden when you talk about his defense is, one, does he give effort? And that effort over the last 5 years, I'm going to be kind here, let's just say it's been a roller coaster where there are times where he competes and plays hard. There are other times where he is completely unengaged on the defensive end of the floor.
No, you're being too kind. At times it looks like I'm playing defense on the floor when he's on the floor.
Well, at times, right. At times he's not even there. He is and has proven to be over the course of his career a decent post defender. But if you're talking about, you have Kyrie Irving, who has not been known for his defense, just to put it kindly again, clearly not a defensive player. James Harden, clearly not a defensive player. I just don't think that when push comes to shove against the very, very best teams, that their defense is going to hold up when you have both Kyrie and James Harden on the floor. You can only hide so many guys before it becomes ridiculous. And so for those three reasons, one, Harden's poor big game resume, two, the personalities, and three, the defense, I would not have made this trade if I was the Brooklyn Nets. And to be honest with you, if I'm 29 other NBA teams, I would not have made this trade. I'm not a fan of Harden. I wouldn't want Harden on my team. And I just don't think he helps you to win an NBA championship if you're Brooklyn. I just don't. And I will be stunned. I'll be stunned if this team makes it to the NBA Finals as a cohesive unit without lots and lots of issues. And I love Steve Nash, but good Lord, good luck, Steve.
Yeah. So, Mike, I have a thing that I saw ESPN Stats and Info tweet out. I don't know if you saw this, so I want to read this to you. Okay. There are seven active players have a career usage of over 29%. Three of them now are teammates on the Brooklyn Nets. James Harden, 30.7%. Kevin Durant, 30.2%, and Kyrie Irving, 29.3%. So if I do my math, Mike, if I do my math here, that means 90.2% of the time those three are going to have the ball, and I guess Joe Harris gets it 4% of the time. What do you think? And then whoever the other person is, I saw SportsCenter tweeted out, potential starting lineup, you're Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Joe Harris, Kevin Durant, and do you know who they have as their fifth person?
Hey Hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com, spelled A-R-Y-S-E, and use the code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off the future of performance. That's A-R-Y-S-E.com with promo code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off. Uncle Jeff Green.
Oh, boy.
I like it. Okay. All right. So when it comes to the, you know, when it comes to having the ball in their hands, obviously all those guys like to have the ball in their hands. The one thing you can say if you're trying to be an optimist is Durant played with Russell Westbrook and won an MVP while he was playing with a ball-dominant guy in Russell Westbrook. So can Durant play off the ball? Sure, he can play off the ball. Did he play off the ball some in Golden State? Sure, he played off the ball. He's done it before. He can do it again. Kyrie played here in Cleveland with LeBron James. So if you're playing with LeBron, you better learn how to play off the ball. So he can play off the ball. The guy who really, for the last 8 or 9 years, has played basically zero off the ball, because when he doesn't have the ball, what does James Harden do? He usually goes and stands in one corner of the half court and just stays out of the way. So he's the guy that you would say, well, if he doesn't have the ball, what is he contributing? He's contributing nothing. But I'm not sure that Kyrie, that's the role that he really wants or that he signed up for when he came to Brooklyn to play with Durant. And if I'm Durant, I mean, look, he's averaging, what, 28, 8, and 5 or something ridiculous. I mean, he's clearly back to or as close to back as you can be coming off that Achilles injury. Does he really want to take a step back in the offense and just stand on the perimeter and watch James Harden dribble? I don't know. There's a lot to figure out. And when you have a lot to figure out, and you have the egos and personalities that you have with Harden and Kyrie and Durant to a lesser degree, look, I'm not buying it. I don't buy that it's going to come together as this seamless unit that all of a sudden is just going to kill people.
I'm definitely feeling that. There's a report that just surfaced, Mike. Kyrie Irving saga continues as the point guard remains away from the team. Purportedly, Kyrie Irving is furious with the organization over the hiring of Steve Nash as the coach. The former Duke product was not in favor of Nash leading the club and wanted more say in the matter. The person also hears that Irving's relationship with Kevin Durant has been very distant recently. Multiple outlets had reported that Irving's personal leave was due to the frustration of social issues. However, now he's upset they're taking away his game checks for violating the league's COVID-19 protocol, and that's on the table. The Nets were apparently open to giving up Kyrie Irving in the James Harden trade, but the Rockets wanted nothing to do with him.
All right, so that being said, let's go ahead and let's quickly speculate on Kyrie Irving trade destinations. Where does he make sense? What contending team needs a point guard? Is there a contending team that you could look at? I'm just looking through the league. Is there a contending team that needs a point guard?
Boston?
Well, if Kemba's out, I could see Danny Ainge could pull that trigger, right? Bring him back. Why not? Let's run it back. Kyrie 2, Electric Boogaloo. Let's run it back. I like it. I'm contenders, man. Is there a contender they could trade him to?
The Los Angeles Clippers. Indiana?
They got Brogdon. You got Brogdon. Brogdon's your point guard.
Isn't Brogdon a shooting guard?
Well, if you're playing, Caris LeVert is probably your two,
yeah,
right?
I guess.
So I think Clippers? Brogdon. I think Brogdon's your Clippers. To me, the Clippers make sense.
Who?
I mean, I don't know what they can trade for him. Pandemic P?
They just signed him to a long contract.
Pandemic P.
Listen to this. This would be like Pandemic P, Kevin Durant, and James Harden. It would be like all the former Oklahoma City Thunder. All they needed was Russell Westbrook, and they would have like...
Oh, that'd be fun. That'd be fun. But really, you look at the rest of the teams that potentially could be
New Orleans
in the mix, and I don't know. Maybe. I mean, there's not a clear number
Miami?
One guy where you're like, oh, maybe. I mean, but what does Miami want to give up to get Kyrie Irving in there? And does Kyrie Irving fit the Heat culture? I don't think so. I don't think he really fits into the Heat culture.
Probably not. I'm just trying to think who else.
He seems like a Clipper to me.
I mean, if you get...
Let's start it. Let's get Kyrie to the Clippers.
Please, that would be great.
Let's figure out a way. Hey, plus you reunite him with Ty Lue. It's perfect. Kyrie to the Clippers. You heard it here first. All right.
Okay. So let's move on to another team.
Yes. Okay.
So let's look at it from the Rockets' perspective. I feel like the Rockets now have this war chest of picks, Mike, and I think this is probably the best they could have done. In the trade, you know, you can make the argument that maybe getting the Ben Simmons piece, there was the choice that the talk that it was going to be Simmons and Thybulle, and I don't know, obviously there had to be other moving parts in there. But I think given Simmons' injury history, I think this was a good move for the Rockets to do this. They got lots of picks. They ended up flipping LeVert for Oladipo, which I don't know if that's I don't know where you stand. I probably would have kept LeVert personally, but maybe they're trying to save money because I think Oladipo is done. His isn't expiring, right?
Oladipo is, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he becomes
an unrestricted free agent.
So I
think what I'm saying is maybe they didn't want to take LeVert because I feel like LeVert has another year or two on his contract. So maybe they were just.
LeVert's in the first year of a three-year extension that averages 17.5.
So maybe they were trying to save money and leave something open. Now, I don't know what the free agent market looks for next year, but or maybe they intend on keeping Oladipo if it works. You know, I think this was a smart move by Houston. I think they did pretty well, and they got ultimately they got what they needed, and that is they got rid of James Harden.
Hey coaches, parents, and group leaders, I want to introduce you to our newest sponsor, SnapRaise. SnapRaise is the nation's largest digital donation platform built to help teams, youth groups, and clubs raise money quickly and efficiently without selling products. SnapRaise builds your group a customizable campaign website, and students use their mobile devices to connect and engage with their biggest fans. My son's high school team used SnapRaise this season, and our team raised all the money they needed to fund their season, and then some. Getting SnapRaise started is quick and free. Just visit snapraise.com, and you'll get connected to a local SnapRaise expert in no time. Yeah, I mean, clearly you had to get rid of Harden. That situation, whatever precipitated it, whatever caused it, whether it's just Harden brooding, whether it was something that went on with the team and just the fact that he felt like they couldn't compete, whatever. I think if you're Houston and you're a whole new regime and you're Steven Silas, at this point you're taking a huge sigh of relief that this guy's out the door and that you can get a fresh start. I agree with you from a standpoint of when you look at player to player, would you rather have Oladipo and Caris LeVert? And they're not identical players in terms of what they do, but both of them kind of have a little bit of an injury history. So if LeVert's been healthy, he's been very, very good, but he hasn't really been able to stay on the floor for most of his NBA career. I mean, he's missed a lot of games in 3 out of the 4 seasons that he's been in the league. And Oladipo, we know, is coming off the torn quad and is still working his way back up to the level that he was, whatever that was, 2 or 3 years ago, where he was, you know, an all-NBA player.
He scored 43 the other night, though.
Look, I know, I'm saying he's still working, but he's still working his way back from that injury. There's still concerns that is he going to be able to perform at that level consistently? So you can make an argument depending on which of those guys you like better. I think the money definitely was an issue for Indiana because I think with Oladipo, they were right about at the luxury tax or maybe just a little bit above, and bringing on LeVert bumps them below the luxury tax, even to the point where I was reading where they might be able to sign somebody at the trade deadline or maybe pick up, you know, somebody at that point that could help them, because Indiana's clearly been one of the surprising teams at this point, playing really well with Brogdon and Sabonis and new coach and everything that's going on there with the Pacers. So I don't know. I like the trade for Houston because, yeah, they didn't get Ben Simmons. And look, I love Ben Simmons, but if you did a straight up trade, James Harden for Ben Simmons, is Ben Simmons right now or at any point in his career, I'm not sure that he's one of those singular guys that can lead you to an NBA title. Now, is he a nice piece? Sure. But you get all those draft picks, you get all those pick swaps, you potentially give yourself 7 or 8 chances to take a swing to try to find one of those special guys that can lead you to an NBA title. And look, I'm as big a fan of Ben Simmons as anybody. And if that would have been the trade, I guess I probably would have been okay with it for Houston. But the more I look at this, the more I think Houston just replenishes their draft stock. And now you're back in position where you have some decent pieces. I think they can continue to be competitive. You put John Wall, who's looked good to this point. You have Christian Wood, who's performed well as a free agent signing with the Rockets. Now you bring in Oladipo, and you've got a nice core of guys that can keep you competitive. I expect Houston to probably be in that 7-10 range to be in the play-in tournament is kind of where I expect them to be now, that hopefully they can kind of get things situated, get themselves back on solid footing, and then start to move forward with Steven Silas and whatever they're going to try to build with that team for the rest of the season.
All right. Moving on to the Indiana Pacers. They get Caris LeVert for Oladipo. I know Oladipo, Indiana, right, Mike? That's correct, right?
Yes, Indiana, yes, that's correct.
I totally know that he was, like, beloved by the Pacers fans and everything. But from an organizational standpoint, getting 2 more additional years of Caris LeVert out of this is a huge move for the Pacers. And I think it's a good move because I don't think Oladipo was going to stay. I really don't. I don't think that they were going to agree on the price for him. So I think this is a really good move for the Pacers. And I think, you know, is LeVert going to change anything? No, I think they're pretty similar players. I think LeVert's probably, I don't know, would you say LeVert's a little bit better than Oladipo, Mike? Or do you think they're basically interchangeable?
I feel like maybe Oladipo's ceiling is higher because at his peak, Oladipo was a first team all defensive guard when he was at his peak. And so I think defensively, Oladipo is probably better than LeVert. I think LeVert's probably a little bit better passer and maybe a little bit better playmaker, whereas I think Oladipo might be a little bit better scorer. Again, I'm talking about peak Oladipo, and we don't know if that guy is there or he's not still there, at least on a consistent basis. So from Indiana's standpoint, I think you're trading a player who is headed toward free agency, who either is going to have a big contract, is going to have a big year this year, and is going to really show that he's back. And if he does, he's probably going to price himself out of Indiana. And if he doesn't, then Indiana's got to look at it and say, well, if he doesn't play really, really well and other teams don't want him, he's still going to think of himself as the guy who should sign a big contract. And so is he going to re-sign with Indiana for anything less than a big monster contract? So Indiana then gets into a position where they have to ask themselves, do we want to sign Oladipo at what is probably an overpay, or do we want to let him walk for nothing? So instead, you turn the remainder of this year Oladipo into two more additional years of Caris LeVert, plus you're at a lower price point. You're locked into LeVert for 2 years. And again, as a player, I think you slot them both into the same position, but now you have LeVert and Malcolm Brogdon together, and you got two good playmaking guards. You got Sabonis. I like the trade for Indiana. It's not that I don't like Oladipo. I just think that Indiana bought themselves some more flexibility here to be able to maybe make another move later in the season if something becomes available. And they also set themselves up where instead of losing Oladipo for nothing or overpaying him in the offseason, instead now you just roll it back with LeVert. And if LeVert can stay healthy, that's the key. Can LeVert stay healthy? He hasn't really been able to stay healthy throughout his career, but if he can, I think Indiana got the better of that deal between the two teams, even if Oladipo ends up being peak Victor Oladipo, which might make him a little bit better than LeVert. I think the benefit that Indiana got in terms of the lesser money and two more years of having him locked in at a reasonable salary, to me, I think Indiana wins that part of the trade, not decisively, but I think I'd rather have LeVert and his contract than Oladipo going into his free agency year.
Yeah, I agree. All right, last move. Last team we got to talk about, the Cleveland Cavaliers. But before we do that, a word from our sponsors.
Do you know where to hit the backboard for the highest percentage shots? Do you know when using the backboard is better than taking a direct shot? Be certain that you are taking the highest percentage shots by training with the Shoticle. The Shoticle mounts on your backboard to give you the location of the highest percentage shots. Train with the Shoticle, and you will score more. Basketball is a data-driven game, so don't ignore the data and the facts. We worry about the data so you can focus on shooting. Visit Shoticle.com now and start scoring more.
All right, we're back to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers. If we woke up this morning, Mike, and I texted you saying the Cavs are going to make a trade today, would you have said, you're full of garbage, or sure, I can see it?
Well, I would have been completely surprised. I guess I would have gone with the garbage answer because, one, we didn't really hear any rumors about it. Although, I know we had talked about it at least once, I think, on the podcast about the need for possibly other teams to get involved in a potential, right, because of a potential Harden deal. And so, I guess somebody had to be in this trade. So, the Cavs stepped up and ended up, I think, getting a pretty good deal out of the whole situation, considering what you give up with Dante Exum, who's hurt right now. And look, Exum's been a decent player, right? When he's been here in Cleveland, he's done some things, but I don't think he's ever going to become anything more than what he was, which is maybe he's your eighth or ninth man who has a specialty role kind of as a defender, but he never really developed into the type of player that everybody thought he was going to be offensively. And then clearly when he was in Utah and he tore up his knee, that robbed him of some of the athleticism that he had when he was younger. So losing Exum doesn't really bother me at all. And then we gave up a 2024 second round pick. And then as part of the deal, we give up that Milwaukee pick, which is probably going to be number 26, 27, 28, somewhere in there, which good. Could you find a good player at that pick? Sure, you could. But the likelihood that you're going to find a player that's going to make a significant difference in your trajectory as a franchise is pretty low. So it's a low risk. And again, I don't know how high the reward is, but they got a nice return of two guys who are.
Listen,
play.
I'll tell you this much, Mike. Defensively, Mike, I think we're going to be really, really good because we're going to be so big. And like someone I saw a joke on Twitter, you know, the Cavs slipped from first defensive rating to second, so they needed to upgrade and got Jared Allen. Someone wrote that. Because, I mean, Jared Allen's a good defender. He's a solid defender down low. So I think the starting lineup that I saw was when everyone's healthy, Colin Sexton, Darius Garland, Kevin Love at the three, Jared Allen at the four, and Andre Drummond at the five. I thought that was
all right.
I thought it was funny. Obviously, I don't think that would happen, but I mean, they definitely are. It's going to be interesting to see how Bickerstaff works the whole trade into the all the players in. And obviously, right now, it's probably good that we got two players because those guys are probably going to play. I don't know if they'll be cleared for our game tomorrow. I think we played. Do we cast play tomorrow? I don't know if they'd be ready to go out there. I still haven't even seen an official like. Cavs haven't officially tweeted it. I don't think that they've traded and acquired them. And I don't think that any of the teams have really officially tweeted it. The Cavs' only tweet they had was from an hour ago. They said that we just woke up from a nap. What's the word, Twitter? That's the only thing the Cavs have said. So they haven't officially announced it. So I would mean that might mean that they cannot play tomorrow. I don't know. You know, I don't know how that whole, the logistics of that, especially now in this day and age. With COVID, I don't know if there's protocols they have to follow in order to get them cleared to on a trade. I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah, I have no idea. But, I mean, long term, I mean, forget about tomorrow night or two nights from now. It doesn't really matter. I think you're looking at what does this mean for the trajectory of the Cavs, and does either one of these guys fit with the timeline around Sexton, Garland, and Isaac Okoro, who are going to be the guys that you're hoping are going to be the cornerstones of your franchise moving forward for the next 4 or 5 years. So if you're the Cavs, you pick up Jared Allen, who is a good player. He's a young player. He's still on his rookie contract.
He's a restricted free agent at the end of the season.
Million this year. Correct. Which means that you're going to end up having to pay him a pretty big salary, because I was reading a couple of things where people might say that, or people are speculating that because the Cavaliers made this trade, that other teams might offer him sort of that poison pill contract, offer him more money than they might typically, because they know that the Cavs are going to feel pressure to re-sign him at whatever price because they made this trade and brought him in, that they're not going to want to just let him walk, so they might end up having to overpay him. But that's neither here nor there. You can't speculate on what's going to happen in the summertime in relation to what this trade means.
I think the Cavs aren't done with trades. They're going to trade one of their other big guys. I think they have to.
Well, that's the next point is once you get, let's come back to that in 1 second. So first, Jared Allen, young player, good player, doesn't necessarily need the ball in his hands, does a lot of the dirty work, seems like he would fit in really, really well with that core three guys that we talked about earlier with the backcourt and Okoro as a defensive player. And now you had Jared Allen, who's a good defensive player, to kind of start to hide some of those deficiencies that you have with the small backcourt. So I like that signing. I mean, I like that piece of the trade. I like getting Jared Allen. Hopefully he becomes a long-term piece for the Cavs. And then Taurean Prince is sort of one of those nameless, faceless guys. He's a wing who can do some things. He can play some defense. He can shoot some threes. He's a guy who's going to probably fit into their rotation, and he'll get some minutes. I'm not sure where he fits in long-term. He's under contract for this season and next season at, I think, $13 million per season. So he adds some money to your cap space. But again, cap space to the Cavs is not really worth a whole lot because, as we know, no free agents are coming here. So again, to me, the key is you get Jared Allen, who's a young big, who's going to end up, I think, being a part of this team moving forward, of their core.
I agree.
And now you talk about, well, trades are, you know, we still have some trades to make. And I think at this point, you have to start looking around and go, who are the suitors for Andre Drummond and what could you get for Andre Drummond? Because clearly, he's their best player that other teams might theoretically have an interest in that the Cavs would be willing to put into a deal. So I don't know who that is. I was looking at the standings earlier, looking around the league, trying to figure out, is there a contender that would want to trade for Andre Drummond? Because no team that's in the lottery area is going to be trading anything of any value for Andre Drummond. So who are the teams that might have a hole at center that would want Andre Drummond? And really, when you go through the whole list in both conferences, I'm not sure there's really anybody that needs Andre Drummond.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think Kevin Love is the more interesting one, Mike. And I know I've talked that I don't think his contract's tradable. But I think there are more teams would be viable. I know that the thing that hurts Love is he's got like three more years onto his contract, right? He's still got 3 years. Is it three? It's two or three.
Well, you have that plus he's just been so injury prone. I mean, are you really going to take on that salary for a guy who's been, in all honesty, he's been pretty brittle the last couple of years and hasn't played a whole lot of basketball. And look, I know Kevin Love can fit in, and he probably is an easier fit than Drummond with a lot of teams. I mean, teams could find a way to utilize Kevin Love. But if I'm the Cavs, sure, I'd like to get off Love's contract and get him out because, again, he doesn't necessarily fit into that young core. And really, when you look at Drummond, he's not that old. I mean, I think Drummond is now like 26, and he's a guy who for the last 5 years has been in the top five in rebounding in the league. If you put Andre Drummond in 1985, Andre Drummond is a multi-time all-star that teams are knocking down doors to get. But in the year 2021, Andre Drummond's style of play just doesn't lend itself to the type of basketball that most teams are playing in the spacing. He can't shoot it. He's not necessarily a great passer, but the guy can rebound the heck out of the ball. I just don't know what team that's out there that's a contender is going to pull the trigger. I keep coming back to the Celtics, but they signed Tristan Thompson in the offseason. Right now, those guys are all sitting out with COVID, their big lineup. But they don't necessarily have that big, big body. Yeah, Tristan, can he bang with Joel Embiid? Can he bang with Brook Lopez? Can he bang with some of these other big players? Sure, but Drummond might fit there a little better, but I don't see Boston trading us anything of value for Andre Drummond. The Sixers have Embiid. The Bucks have Brook Lopez. The Pacers have Sabonis and Miles Turner. Brooklyn is not going to, Brooklyn's not looking to trade. They have DeAndre Jordan, every superstar's, buddy. The Hawks have Capella. So that's your Eastern Conference contenders. The West, the Lakers don't need him or want him. The Jazz have Gobert. The Clippers have Zubac and Serge. The Suns have DeAndre Ayton. The Trailblazers have Nurkic. The Mavericks, does he really fit in with their style of play? I mean, they don't really have a great center necessarily, but would you really want to slot Drummond next to Luka and Porzingis? I don't think so. Golden State, maybe if they had Klay and they were a legitimate contender, maybe they could talk themselves into Drummond in some way, shape, or
why,
form.
I don't know. That means you would take minutes away from Wiseman. I don't know if you want to do that.
I'm saying if you were a legitimate contender, okay. if you really thought you could win the title and Klay was there, then maybe you might talk yourself into saying, look, we'd rather have an experienced veteran playing that position instead of giving those minutes to Wiseman. But in the current situation where they are, they're not a legitimate contender. So I don't see them making that trade. So I just don't know. Denver's not going to trade for him. I mean, I just don't see a logical landing spot where you'd get something good in return for him. I mean, maybe you could ship him out and get back 10 cents on the dollar, but you're not shipping them out and getting a piece back that's really going to fit or help you any more than what Andre Drummond can do. And then you're faced with the offseason decision of, do you re-sign him or does he leave in free agency and get nothing for him? So who knows?
I don't know. We'll see what happens. That's what I'm going to say. Like, I think
I like to trade for the Cavs. I like it for the Cavs.
I think it's good for them. And I feel like it's a low cost, high reward potential. Even if it's low cost, medium reward, that's good. That's fine with me. It'll be interesting. Like I said, the Cavs don't play till Friday, so I'm thinking they'll be able to play, but it'll be interesting to see how Bickerstaff works them all in and who's even available. Hopefully they get the crew all together and just want to see how he handles it, because I think it's definitely interesting.
All right. Bottom line. Grades for this trade. Cavs, I'll give him an A. Pacers, I'll give him an A. Houston, I'll give him an A. Nets, F.
I think I would go, I think I'd give Houston the highest grade. I'm going to give them an A. I think I'd give the Cavs and the Pacers a B. Like, I like the trade for the Cavs, but I think Houston did the best here And it may not have been even what they got in return. It's just what they got rid of. And then, obviously, I'm agreeing with you. I think this is a terrible trade for the Nets. I mean, I just don't see it. And now, I mean, theoretically, Mike, I mean, they have a great starting lineup, but they've got nothing after that. So I think, whew, I don't know. I
feel like watching the Brooklyn Nets the rest of the season is going to be like rubbernecking at a car accident. You're just going to be watching just all this crazy stuff is going to come out and trying to figure out what's going to fit. It should be quite a soap opera in
Mike,
Brooklyn.
Mike, you've ever seen the GIF of the slow motion train wreck? There's a GIF where a train's going over a bridge and it's like in slow motion and falling off the bridge. I think that's what the Nets are going to be this season.
That sounds like a plan. All right, let's leave it there with the train slowly going off the rails, and I think that's what's going to happen with the Brooklyn Nets. So sorry, Brooklyn. I wish things had worked out better for
Joe
you.
Harris.
I wish you could have traded first. Sorry, Joe Harris. We don't have any positives to share with you in terms of our opinions on this trade. So hopefully, for Joe's sake, it will work out positively, but I am not too confident. So on that note, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thanks for tuning in to our emergency James Harden pod, and we will catch you tomorrow with another episode of the Hoopheads podcast. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.